start with blessing everyone. If you all can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us for this holy Sabbath day. Thank you so much for guiding us and teaching us of your word. Even when at times that we're not so worthy to stand before you. Thank you so much, Father, for helping those who are in need. We lift up all the prayer requests that are in the room. And also, we lift up the prayers for Pastor Nicholas and his family. Please bless them with a gentle hug from heaven and to comfort them during this time. Please bless those who are seeking the truth, especially those who are lost and those who are sick spiritually and physically. Thank you so much, Father, for your love and your commandments. And please bless us to be partakers of the latter rain. And we offer this prayer unto you and to the rest of the Godhead family. And in the name, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. Sister Marie, maybe you may have to refresh the room and come back in. The sun may be able to come back. So as we continue on the study, a closer walk with Jesus, to walk with the Lord closer is to go and sin no more. Many of us, myself included, we are always been struggling because Satan's time is so short and his wrath is increasing. Also, his temptations, as he mastered it for the last 6,000 years. As obedient remnant church of God, we have to get serious in our walk and to put away the former sins that we have, that we used to cherish. We go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. It says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. And when we say the word ignorance here, we do everything, we used to do everything that is not pleasant in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord is merciful, for he also winked at our ignorance. But what happened when an individual goes back into sin, or still an unbeliever? It will become a rebellion to God, and it become a stubbornness in the sight of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, it says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. This is when Samuel was talking to Saul, when he disobeyed God. Continuing, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So brothers and sisters, when we backslid for a little bit, let us go back into the fold by going directly to Christ as soon as possible before Satan can increase temptation against us and swallow us up. And also, when a lot of people do not understand, especially the people of this world who don't know Christ or not wanting to know Christ, get to know by God, then some of them might say that God has the pleasure of destroying people. But that's not true. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11 says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" So this is a warning from our God, because he loved us so much. We continue on verse 12 of the same chapter. Verse 12 and 13 says, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 12 and 13 says, "Therefore thus Son of Man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it." So these two verses were very clear that sin will not be tolerated. You can be as obedient 99% of the time, and that 1% that you do not get serious with the Lord, that 99% of your effort will be gone to naught. So let us keep all the commandments of the Lord and be serious in our walks, because we do not want to take for granted what the Lord has done in the Calvary. All the agony and suffering that he did for us, we should not lay aside that the time that he suffered during that time. And if an individual also did not choose to repent and still continuing on the same, let's say a brother or a sister is suffering with a major sin or whatever sin it may be, what happened to that person? Matthew chapter 12, verse 45. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So that person will be a lot worse than when he was. So let us be mindful of each and every word in the Bible and take heed lest we fall. While we go to the now let's talk about the man with an unclean spirit. And this is not just seven demons. Mark chapter 5, verse 9, sorry. And he asked him, this is the Lord asking those demons, and he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So, brothers and sisters, are you being tempted by the enemy, as we all know? Please do not give Satan a toehold or a foothold, as we are being followed by legions of demons, each and every one of us. I'm sharing a spirit from Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, page 332, paragraph 3. "A striking example of their number, power, and malignity, and also of the power and mercy of Christ, is giving in the scripture account of the healing of the demoniacs at Gadara. Those wretched maniacs, spurning all restraint, writhing, foaming, raging, for filling the air with their cries, doing violence to themselves, and endangering all who should approach them. Their bleeding and disfigured bodies and distracted minds presented a spectacle well pleasing to the Prince of Darkness. One of the demons controlling the sufferers declared, "My name is Legion, for we are many." In the Roman army, a legion consisted of from 3,000 to 5,000 men. Satan's hosts also are marshaled into companies. The single company to which these demons belong numbered no less than a legion. So, brothers and sisters, it's very clear that we are being followed by legions. So, it is best for us to keep the armor of God and the breastplate of righteousness. In order for these legions of angels, all they can do is follow us, but they won't be able to touch us. Because if we do not choose to sin and stand firm in the truth that God blesses us with, a single angel cannot be withstand by this legion. Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, page 441, paragraph 1, it says, "A single angel destroyed all the firstborn of the Egyptians and filled the land with mourning. When David offended against God by numbering the people, one angel caused the troubled destruction by which his sin was punished. The same destructive power exercised by holy angels when God commands will be exercised by evil angels when he allows. There are forces now ready and only waiting the divine permission to spread desolation everywhere." Remember the time when Job was attacked by Satan? He asked God for permission before he executed his attack against Job. So, brothers and sisters, we don't want to push we don't want to push our guardian angels that the Lord sent to us, the heads of the holy angels, because every time we turn to the right or to the left, we walk off the path, the narrow path that the Lord wants us to focus on. So, if you are struggling with sin, and you already know what type of sin you are struggling with, and if you know the sin is in that area that you should not go, go not therefore. For example, you're struggling with liquor, drunkenness. Do not go to the bar. Don't spend your time going to the liquor store. You know, some liquor store, it says wine and spirits. That's not coincidence. Wine and spirits. Sounds like demonic spirits are in there, dwelling there. Or any amusement, or any sports events. If you know you are weak in that area, do not go there. Or if you are weak in some areas, you don't have to reveal your sin or struggles to your other brethren or sisters. You can ask them to strengthen you. And of course, go directly to Jesus in prayer with sincerity. And he is merciful as always to his followers. What happened to Satan when we pray? Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, page 295. I apologize, I didn't put what paragraph that in. So it says, "Satan is enraged at the sound of the fervent prayer, for he knows that he will suffer loss." So every time we go in prayer into our knees with our hands going up to heaven, pray with our palms facing heaven, Satan trembles. Satan hates us praying to God. So how many times do you pray daily? David prayed 3 times a day, so as Daniel. So let us pray at least 3 times a day. and also the midday prayer. Continuing, another one is Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, page 2, page 345, paragraph 3. It says, "At the sound of fervent prayer, Satan's host trembles. He continues to call legions of angels to accomplish his object. When angels, all powerful, clothed with the armory of heaven, come to the help of the fainting, pursued soul, Satan and his host fall back, well knowing that their battle is lost." So, even if the sin that you committed, and you committed it again, keep praying to God and trusting in Him that He will bring you back into the fold. And also for those that walk away, you still have a chance to go back into the fold, because we are still alive, and we are still on probation. But the probation is about to close, so it's time to get serious. First John chapter 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So brothers and sisters, how many times have you committed the same sin? How many times? When was the last time you did sin against the Lord? This is an evidence. This is the evidence that He will forgive us if we truly, sincerely want to repent and to stop sinning. Another evidence of the Lord's mercy is when the woman was taken by the scribe and the Pharisees because she committed adultery. John chapter 8 verse 3, it says, "And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst." Then I'm going to jump to verse 7 to, I'm going to jump from 7 to 11 of the same chapter. So John chapter 8 verse 7 through 11, it says, "So when they continue asking him, he lift up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard of being convicted by their own conscience went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. She said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go, and sin no more." So, when we accidentally sin against the Lord, or let's say there's a sin that some of us are still struggling on, think of these two verses. Because the only accuser is Satan and his cohorts. Think of these two verses when you sin. When you are longing for the mercy of God, or let's say you are confused or losing hope. Think of this verse. It says, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." The Lord said it just that. So what happened to the woman after she heard the Lord? It says in Ministry of Healing, page 89 to 90, it says, "The woman had stood before Jesus, cowering with fear. His words, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone, had come to her as a death sentence. She dared not lift her eyes to the Savior's face, but silently awaited her doom. In astonishment, she saw her accusers depart, speechless and confounded. Then those words of hope fell upon her ear, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Her heart was melted, and casting herself at the feet of Jesus, she sobbed out her grateful love, and with bitter tears confessed her sin. This was to her the beginning of new life, a life of purity and peace devoted to God. In the uplifting of this fallen soul, Jesus performed a greater miracle than in the healing of the grievous physical disease, rather. He cured the spiritual malady which is unto death everlasting. This penitent woman became one of his most steadfast followers. With self-sacrificing love and devotion, she showed gratitude for his forgiving mercy. For this erring woman, the world had only contempt and scorn, but the sinless one pitied her weakness, and reached to her with a helping hand. While the hypocritical Pharisees denounced, Jesus bade her go and sin no more. Jesus knows the circumstances of every soul. The greater the sinner's guilt, the more he needs the Savior. His heart of divine love and sympathy is drawn out of all for the one who is most hopelessly entangled in the snares of the enemy. With his own blood, he has signed the emancipation papers of the race. So, brethren, let us emulate how the Lord did. Let us emulate the way the Lord reached the lost souls without scorning them, without laughing at them or embarrassing them because of the sin that they did. Because we are also sinners, we cannot cast a stone upon them. And as the member of and the members of this as their church, I think someone is talking in the mic.
What?
I think.
Yeah.
Brother, please mute your mic. There you go. Okay, continuing. So we are to emulate our Lord and to reach with the loving words with compassion, not by posting slogans outside and say, you're going to go to hell, you have no chance of going home. So those are the things that the Lord will not have us do if we do everything with pride. So we cannot be complacent and be distracted with anything in the world, thinking it's not very close. So, brothers and sisters, if you are suffering or struggling with any type of sin, please don't lose hope. Please go to Christ in prayer and take heed to the warning of your brothers and sisters that know what you're struggling with. Because the Lord could be sending them to warn you. The Lord can send you anyone, or let's say you hear a small voice to warn you, you need to stop doing this because I love you, things like that. And there's another promise, a very beautiful promise from Step to Christ, page 70 to 71. There are those who have known the pardoning love of Christ and who really desire to be children of God. Yet they realize that their character is imperfect, their life faulty, and they are ready to doubt whether their hearts have been renewed by the Holy Spirit. To such, I would say, do not draw back in despair. We shall often have to bow down and weep at the feet of Jesus because of our shortcomings and mistakes. But we are not to be discouraged, even if we are overcome by the enemy. No, Christ is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, saith the beloved John. This not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And do not forget the words of Christ. The Father himself loveth you. He desires to restore you to himself, to see his own purity and holiness reflected in you. And if you will but yield yourself to him, he that hath begun a good work in you will carry it forward to the day of Jesus Christ. Pray more fervently believe more fully as we come to distrust our own prayer. Let us trust the power of our Redeemer, and we shall praise Him who is the health of our countenance. The closer you come to Jesus, the more faulty you will appear in your own eyes. For your vision will be clearer, and your imperfections will be seen in broad and distinct contrast to His perfect nature. This is evidence that Satan's delusions have lost their power, that the vivifying influence of the Spirit of God is arousing you. So brothers and sisters, if you are having struggles with any sin, whether it be minor sin or major sin, or people making you sin, people around you, please remember Christ our King and our beloved Heavenly Father did not leave us. For He sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to guide us, plus the heads of the holy angels. No legions of demonic angels can even put their fingers on us, for the Lord loveth us. So brothers and sisters, the Lord cannot use us if we are not serious in our walk, or if we are not in one accord. We will not receive the latter rain if there is a sin in the camp. It takes only one person who is not serious in a camp for everyone to not receive the latter rain. So let us get serious and let's press together in this as we are walking to the path of righteousness. And that road to the glory of God is getting narrower and narrower. So please let us get serious. Let's put away all these former things that we used to love, sports, alcohol, anything, movies, everything that we used to love. Let's put them away, because we are bought with a price. We are not living for ourselves anymore. We are living for Christ. And for those that are in the world saying that God may not be pardoning iniquity, in closing, Micah chapter 7, verse 18, it says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighted in mercy." I hope and pray that we are all blessed this Sabbath day. The next voice you will hear will be of Brother Lawrence. And before that, it will be the music. Sabbath blessings and God bless.